morning. Anyone want to say hello?
Not really.
Well, that's not very nice.
Just kidding.
Or very friendly.
Just kidding. How's everybody?
Hi, Steve.
I'm going to call you after the call. Okay.
And I believe that was Shire.
It was.
How are you? Did you get real hot there yesterday or no?
No, it was humid. Really humid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 78.
We've had another 92 or 3 yesterday again. With 2 points of like 77. I'm sorry?
Where's Shara at right now? You know, she travels the world, so we never know where she's at.
Still in New York.
You're still in New York?
Yep.
No, not going to get to enjoy that nice, again, huh?
Not yet. And it happens very soon.
How are you, Denise?
Nice, warm. We'll finally have a little bit of, I call it summer in Michigan here. That's pretty cool.
So you like the hot weather?
No. We need a little summer, so.
Uh-huh.
It's only 70 degrees or something like that right now. Today it'll get up to 80, I'm sure, but.
Do you have the humidity up there also?
Oh, yeah. Remember all the lake we have here?
Yeah.
But it's not terribly bad. You know, we get a lot of breeze. So it's really not that bad.
Somebody else just joined us?
Yeah, good morning. This is Darlene.
Good morning, Darlene. How are you?
Oh, doing well.
Hey. How are your tomatoes doing?
Well, they're doing really well. I think that we've just had such hot summer. You know, because the tops of them are a little bit cracked.
Oh, yeah.
And,
stressed.
But they're better than nothing.
Uh-huh. And in this part of the country, we're complaining because it's been so cool, the tomatoes don't like it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Yeah, we are back in the hundreds again, but today it's going to start dropping off, you know, like 1 degree each day for about 3 more days, so we'll be back in the 90s.
Where are you at, darling?
Up in Shasta County, up in Palo Cedro, outside of Redding.
California.
Yep.
North.
Come to the conclusion there is no utopia.
No, if we had the perfect weather, we'd have too many people living here.
Sure. It used to be San Diego.
Boy.
Anybody else want to say hello?
This is Mary Lou. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou. How are you?
Hi.
Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns?
Yeah, Denise does.
Good for it.
Okay. I am very fortunate that I get to work in my neighbor's garden and weed and hoe and then also harvest, you know, so I don't have to do all the work myself, but that's really nice. But anyhow, we're harvesting the garden. I'm telling my neighbor, you know, about different things we can do with some of these tops. And then I'm thinking, can we do it with, let's just say, you know, we were talking about juicing. So I'm, carrot tops, you said you can juice, correct?
I put them in mine the other day. They were fine, just not very many because they're very strong flavored.
Are you talking about for a smoothie or for a juicer?
I put them in, I make my vegetable drink in the morning.
The smoothie, okay, go ahead. Just wanted to clarify.
Okay. And so how about the broccoli tops? Have you ever done that, Shar?
Yes, the leaves, the tops, you know, any of it. Just taste them and see if they're palatable.
Okay.
You're going to know which ones you don't use. Like, you never use rhubarb leaves. They're extremely toxic.
Right.
You don't. I found out the other day looking for an organic home remedy spray for potato bugs that you do not use even the leaves in a spray for any vegetable plants. They're so toxic.
Right. They're highly toxic.
Again, Sean?
Rhubarb.
The rhubarb.
No. What were you talking about, a spray?
A spray for potato bugs on my potato plants.
What don't you use?
Well, it was giving rhubarb leaves to use, but it said on...
That's interesting.
Ornamental, not on any vegetables that you would eat.
I see. That's very interesting. Who would think of that? Okay, go ahead. Denise, go ahead.
Okay, then, she has both purple basil that are flowering right now and the regular basil. And when it's already flowering, isn't it a little bit past its prime to use?
You can still use some of the leaves. I just don't like the taste of the flowers. I tasted them, and they're too strong. They don't taste as good as the leaves. So I still use the leaves as long as they're bright colored. If they're turning yellow or brown, I don't use them, but... if they've got a good color to them, they're still okay, especially for in a smoothie.
I've been putting the flowers in the smoothie, and I don't notice them.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, I don't put that many, and the smoothie certainly is large enough to, with other things in it, that I don't taste it at all.
If you're using them sparingly, yes, I would agree. Danny's just very sensitive to anything that has much of a strong flavor, and he seems to pick it out and say, oh, it doesn't taste the same.
It might be, I'm finding, and it's probably the basil stem, a little stringy because I only, like, break it up into a piece or two. But I throw the whole thing in and figure, why not?
What else can you do with that purple basil stuff? Just hang it upside down, dry it? What else do you do with it? It's so pretty.
I also put basil in my vegetable salad, the leaves.
Yeah, I use both basils in my salad. Not, I mean, the leaves of them. I don't cut up the flowers in them, but I use them.
And so, what about parsley? How do you use parsley? I mean, have any of you dried this stuff much?
Oh yeah, I've dried it. I mean, a lot of times I just chop it up and lay it on a tray in the oven after I've turned the oven off and the temperature has dropped just to pull some of the moisture out, or even set it on top of the stove. I mean, you know, I like it already chopped so it's ready to use, like you buy, you know, other herbs if I'm going to do it, and I figure I may as well use it, not throw it away. It's there.
Yeah. One of the things that... my neighbor said that she does do with the basil, and I thought it was really interesting, is she chops it up and just, I think she said she cooks it, just a little bit of water, and then she freezes it in an ice cube tray and takes it out and throws it into baggies, and then when she makes soup, just throws it in there.
Another person I know said that she just chops it and puts it in a little oil. I think that was Molly or... I think it was Molly said she just drops it and puts it in a little bit of oil in the ice cube tray and adds it to her recipes that way too. So, you know, there's all different ways of doing it.
Cool.
Parsley green. For years I have frozen the greens and used them in soup. Just put, you know, I wash them and then put them in a bag and freeze it. And then just take it out when I need it for soup.
I've got a bouquet of the French or Russian lacy leafed kale sitting on my table right now that I just stood up in a glass of water after I rinsed them off in Prime Egg, and they'll sit there until I use them all up. They look great because the leaves are so pretty.
Yeah, well, I'll be experimenting with you this stuff in another week.
Are there any red beets?
Yes.
You know you can use the taps on those.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. And then, of course, putting the beets right in the green thing because I've heard that that's really, really good.
Oh, yeah. That gives a great flavor, too. Yeah.
And you're going to do it raw, is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Any more questions, Jenny?
Nope, not at all. I just thought I'd run it by you, get some input. You know, sometimes you haven't done this stuff for years and years and years, or you don't listen, and finally you're listening.
Good information.
Make use of that good garden stuff.
Oh, absolutely. One of the women from Tai Chi told me yesterday that the woman she usually comes with was not there yesterday. She hates missing this class. But they have a humongous garden. Now, remember, this is a senior class. I don't know how old the woman is, but... and her husband told her she had to stay home. She said, I don't think she ever buys vegetables. They can and whatever, you know, but she had to, they had to pull all the stuff from the garden that needed to come out, and there was too much that she couldn't come to class. I said, wow, how lucky for her. So, anyway, anyone else have any questions, thoughts, or concerns?
I've got one.
Go ahead.
I've got to come up with some ideas for breakfast that don't include wheat. So, and I'm just printing out a form so I can take notes. So if you'll be thinking about it for a minute, give me a second to get ready to write notes. I'd appreciate it. I've got to come up with some ideas for to eat for breakfast that don't have enough protein in them to keep me from getting the shakes.
That's an easy one. Just put all your greens together that you can have and make your cooked cereal the way I do it. Cook it the night before in a big pot, about 2 cups of grains, mixed grains, to about 4 or 5 cups of water. Make it concentrated, and then each morning you can take out what you need. I did it last night. Mine did include, you know, some grains that you couldn't have, but I've done it the same way for people that are celiac or gluten intolerant, and they love it. I like to simmer it. Well, last night I did it with oats as my base, and if you get the oats that are gluten-free, you can do the same thing. I'm out of my oat groats, which I normally use, so I use rolled oats, but water to a boil, 4 cups of water to a boil, dropped in 2 cups of rolled oats, and then threw in and stirred it around with lots of cinnamon, and then put in 1 cup of the mixed grains, and then another cup of water, and put the lid on it and let it set. Didn't even cook it, and it cooked overnight by itself. And then I put it in a big jar in the refrigerator and just reheat what we want in the morning for breakfast.
Go ahead.
We have that about 5 days out of the week.
Easy. The last time I made my cereal, by mistake, I don't know what I was thinking, but I threw in lentils. I guess they thought I was making rice. Well, there is actually rice in my cereal, I think. And you know what? It's good.
So you can put any combination together you like.
Yeah. Does that help you, Steve?
See, I'm trying to think that veggie Benedict, as long as you didn't use a wheat muffin, you used some other type, and it doesn't have to be an English muffin. It could be just a piece of bread that's gluten-free, is wonderful. And that's just with the Hollandaise sauce. And I know I sent that one down. If you don't have it, Steve, let me know. I can resend it to you. That is, I mean, once I made that, it was a keeper. And so the last time I just did about 1.5 batches of the Hollandaise sauce, because there's only 2 of us. 1 batch is too much for 2 and not enough for a double serving for, you know, 4 servings. So I did just about 1.5 batches as I was throwing everything in, just increased it a little bit into the sauce, and it keeps well in the refrigerator, and you just warm it up. So you've got a slice of tomato, slices of avocado on top of your whatever your bread is, and then the Hollandaise sauce. And that's, you know, that's a weekend treat for us normally, because we don't want to take that much time during the week to do it.
I know, Steve, you're usually concerned about the protein, and so you could always add, you know, a teaspoon or so of any of the butters, you know, one of the nut butters that will give you some added protein that you might need.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, it was really interesting last night. Yesterday I had taken, I honestly don't remember what I ate for breakfast, but for why I threw in like about a cup or two of broccoli and and an apple and some canned pears that I canned with honey a few years ago in a blender, and had a smoothie out of that with a cup of or a teaspoon of or one of the scoops, I should say, of the Body Balance. And that did me pretty good until about lunch, and then I started eating my lunch, and I had taken a bunch of broccoli and a bunch of rice and didn't have any beans or anything like that, any protein in it, and by about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock last evening, I was just shaking like crazy. Just sweating. It was just amazing. I just going, oh, I don't like this. I had to hurry and find something to eat just before I got off my shift at work. It was crazy.
Maybe you should keep with you even a jar of one of the butters, just for when you, if you get into that situation, if you definitely think there's a protein problem, and see if that helps you.
It's a good idea. I could take a little bit.
When we travel, I take the jar of jade with me with a spoon in it. I'm wondering if that might help you.
Good idea too.
For the package, you know, the little straws.
Right. Yeah.
That's, if that gives you any assistance with that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anyone else have any other suggestions?
I was just wondering if it wasn't the protein, but it maybe you need a piece of fruit or something.
It could be you're thirsty.
Sugar.
Right.
Might need the fruit, you know, the fruit.
It's a slight possibility, but I have my Aquabore sitting on my desk, and I usually drink a couple quarts of water during the day.
Okay, but when I would test, when that starts to happen, take a full glass of water, see if it makes a difference.
Okay.
That would be real, get it back to us on that one, that would be very interesting to hear.
Okay.
It makes a huge difference for me, because I did it yesterday, because I kept getting busy, and I didn't want to stop to do that second meal, and I didn't have my second meal until 7:30 last night, so... That was a long shot for me, and I was feeling, you know, really hungry, and then all of a sudden I was past that feeling. It was like almost like I was fasting or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the water really does do it for me, because I get, if I don't, I get to the point where I'm just, I mean, I can feel my hands shaking.
Oh, this is Mary Lou. And I did that with water yesterday, and I made it to my 1:30 meal, and I didn't have any in between.
Good for you.
Any of the food I did, I kept on with the water. And I was surprised, because I am a nibbler, and all, but it worked. So I'm going to do my breakfast, and I did that. Now, I couldn't quite make it in the evening, but it'll take me time to get trained, you know.
Oh, yeah, and it's different days, too, you know, what your activity is.
But I wanted to tell you that I tried it yesterday after you talked to us, and it did work for me yesterday. Thank you.
Awesome.
Anyone else have any suggestions or comments on this little topic we're talking about?
Yeah, has anybody thought, I remember whenever I was, I don't know where I read it or, but, that you should eat every 3 to 4 hours because it keeps your metabolism at a steady, or keeps your
sugar
level at a steady or something.
Your blood sugar level.
Yeah.
When they addressed that over at the conference in Maine, they said it'll take about 3 to 4 days for your body to adjust, and it will adjust to that. And, you know, it's been kind of interesting because over the years I've done a lot of different things, and I've done parts of what I'm doing now with going longer times between meals, and I don't know that it hurt me. It probably maybe did me more good at that time than some of the other things I've done. I don't know. You know, I'm just looking, trying, and I spent a lot of time yesterday reading and research, and although a lot of the things don't come right out and describe what happens in the gut,
There's lots and lots of information there to back up not eating between meals and doing your, you know, your main meals. And so, and I found some more in print saying, you know, identical. In fact, it probably was said from the first same study. And I haven't written to the gal over in at the hospital to see if she can send me any other backup material that they use for clinical studies, because I'm sure, you know, it's not just something they've said for years and years and don't have anything to back it up. But anyway, I sure like the time element.
Yeah, well, I tried it yesterday, and it you know, I did very well. I was very surprised because I wasn't, but I did eat more for breakfast than I normally do.
Well, my bowl is over a 3-cup bowl. 3 cups of liquid fills it about a quarter of an inch from the top, or a little more than a quarter of an inch, and I know I have that much in it when I use it. But that's what I've been eating anyway. But I noticed that I was hungry before the next meal, before I ate. By the time I ate, I was hungry. And before, I had been eating before I was hungry because it was a time and Denny thought it was time to eat. And so I have him doing the same thing. And he's doing relatively well.
Yeah, well, I had, you know, thought maybe my portions were too big, oh, probably a month or 2 months ago. And so I started cutting down on my portions, you know. But it definitely didn't, you know, right around noon, I was ready to eat. So this, I actually had a slice of toast with some nut butter and the fruit and cereal, you know, the grains. So it worked out well.
That's what you had for breakfast?
Uh-huh. Okay. And I usually don't have that much. I have the fruit and the grain cereal.
Anyone else have any questions or thoughts?
Nancy, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I had a thought when Char was saying it, mentioning this yesterday, because I've been reading that book on gluten-free diet, and even though that one isn't a vegan cookbook, there are some people who are gluten-free on McDougal's website, on the chat, who are talking. And in this book, it describes that the saccharides with two molecules, the disaccharides, are your grains like your wheat, and they don't digest quickly in the stomach, which causes the putrefaction, which causes erosion in your stomach lining. I emailed Dr. McDougal and asked him about it, and he said he couldn't deny or affirm that, but wheat and yogurt, wheat and soy can bother some people that it's good not to have it. Well, in this description of how it putrefies in the stomach, when Char was talking about going longer between meals, it kind of clicked together and made sense. But if we're overeating, or if we're eating too often, or if our stomach hasn't finished digesting what we've put into it, and we put something else into it and give it another command too soon, that maybe that can trigger some of those effects. So that just started rolling through my head thinking, maybe. Because when I do have a flare-up because I've eaten something that disagrees with me, whether it be dairy or whatever, I'll go all afternoon and all night without eating because I won't want anything in my stomach, and then it gets better. I don't know, are there any thoughts on that, or am I off the wall?
Well, you're trying to get it through your system and not adding anything that might cause it to erupt again, probably. I mean, I think that's a normal reaction when something is bothering you to not, well, most people, I imagine, will not eat or will eat very lightly until it passes.
Well, I even called Dr. Goof yesterday and read her what I read you guys, and she goes, well, makes perfect logical sense. I don't know. You know, some of these things you're going to have trouble finding, I think, and I've run into this in the past, a whole lot of research on, because they're taken for granted when they see that the food is sitting there for X amount of hours, and then knowing that you're putting more in on top of it and how the body works, you know, it's like so much of what we do with nutrition is should make sense and is logical. It's understanding and then taking notice of it and doing accordingly. So,
but so much of what we hear is what Darlene was saying as far as eating at a, on a regular, every 4-hour schedule to keep the blood sugar level.
Well, I'd rather, I guess.
And I think they said something about the metabolism also. But, you know, I'm willing to try this too.
That's why they said give it 4 days and your metabolism, your body will adjust to what you're doing because so much of it is based on what your body is used to. It's like people that don't eat breakfast. They say, I can't eat breakfast. Well, I went for years without eating breakfast. I didn't eat until 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My body was used to it. I couldn't eat breakfast. Well, I can eat breakfast, you know. I mean, I've been doing it for several years now. So it is what your body gets used to as to how it handles it, and that's what they said about the blood sugar, is that it will change and you will not have the same ups and downs that you were having before.
Well, Cheryl, you are our guinea pig. You are our guinea pig.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's working for me. That's all I know. As I said, I like cutting out one main heavier meal that I was working to do every single day and being careful to put the right balance. And so, you know, and Danny loves it. He says, I don't want to eat that much at night.
Wow.
And he says, you know, I'd much rather do it, you know, more middle of the day. And if we need something at night, we didn't need anything at all last night. Didn't have, you know, but our meal was later than it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Could have easily been a couple of hours earlier.
I just want to read some of the stuff that was on from the chiropractor on Saturday. Started off the program and said at least a half a dozen times throughout the program, we are an overweight, overfed, undernourished nation. It's the bacteria in the intestine that contribute to whether you either lose weight or gain weight. Obese people have the wrong kind of bacteria in their gut, and medications disturb the good bacteria. Bifidio or whatever that one is and the acidophilus are the good ones that need to be there. And if they are, they will help overtake the unhealthy ones that are there. It's important to eat nutrient-dense food. At least 50% of our diet should be raw. And when you're eating whole grains, make sure they're 100% whole as the first ingredient. And it's the refined carbs, as we know, that are the dead calories. It's good to eat raw nuts and seeds. Then he went on to superfoods and mentioned, you know, a bunch of the vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach are good ones. But the superfoods are the concentrated nutrients, like the broccoli sprouts. You get much more nutrition in the sprouting part of the vegetable, more vitamin C, B vitamins, calcium, and even anti-cancer chemicals are in broccoli sprouts, way much more than in broccoli itself. An ounce of the sprouts actually has 500 times more anti-cancer than just broccoli. That's huge. All sprouted seeds have up to 500% more value of nutrients than the mother plant itself. But we talked about the rebounder on this call, I believe. I think it's that little trampoline. Someone called in wanted to know if that was good for you. He said it's good for your cardiovascular and your lymphatic system, and it's also gentle on the joints. people, there was a study done at University of Massachusetts on people who are overweight and eat more refined, they do eat more refined carbs, the wrong kind of carbs, which raises their glycemic index. And you store sugar inside the muscle, which turns to fat. When you put, oh, this is a good one, you guys. When you put food in your mouth, you are making a life or death decision. It's important to eat nutrient-dense foods. There is no gluten in the grass foods, wheat or barley. I guess that's it. So.
It's a good reminder about no gluten
in the sprouts. About
what? It's a good reminder, Nancy, about no gluten in the sprouts.
Yeah, yeah. Either the wheat or the barley you mentioned. And the green grass, and the grass foods. So. Hopefully you find this as informative as I do, or at least pick something up from it. I like listening to him. He's usually way ahead of what's out there, generally.
You know, even if you've heard it before, it's hard to retain and pull up sometimes at your fingertips exactly all the different parts to it.
Absolutely.
And again, that's where the group activity here really plays important for me. And I always say I hope it does for everybody else also, to keep us on our toes and be able to utilize the information.
Well, it's funny, when I'm listening to a CD, I listen to them in the car usually, and if we're going somewhere, not locally, but if we're on a trip, and I listen to it, and Marty reads in the car when I drive usually, and all of a sudden he'll say, this is a repeat. And I say, yes, and I have to listen to the same CD. I can listen a dozen times and hear something new each time. And, you know, it reiterates what you just said, Cheryl. We may hear it and not hear it, or we may hear it and store it and forget where it is, or we may hear it and just not know where it is in our memory bank. So, yeah, I need to keep hearing things. And, you know, if I go back to a CD that I haven't listened to in months, it's practically all new for me. So I need reinforcement with the information. Anybody have any questions or thoughts? Is Betty on the call? Just wondering if any, I know that Betty picked up on my challenge a couple of weeks ago of journaling with a gratitude journal. Anyone else doing that?
I've done it. I haven't done it every single day.
I've been doing it. It's kind of fun. My Tai Chi teacher again yesterday talked about Niken and the insoles and the different, you know, some of the different things that they do. And it was just, she is such a booster of this. It's great.
I do mine verbally every day. I don't always get it written down.
Mm-hmm. I do five usually, and sometimes it's the fifth one, and sometimes it's the fourth one, and that's all I can think of, too, is I'm grateful I can go to bed right now. It does begin the process for me of thinking and appreciating what is important in my life. So, you do begin to see things differently sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any closing questions or thoughts?
If anybody's got notes from yesterday, they'd be appreciated. I tried to do keep all the calls up for last week, so.
I will see that you get them. I haven't done it yet, but I'm still working on it. I've got my list on paper.
Thank you. I sure appreciate you guys.
Well, you know, you probably don't realize how much we appreciate what you do. I keep telling you, but I don't know if it's sunk in yet or not.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any final thoughts? Well, we have a few minutes left. I'm out of information, but if anybody wants to talk about something, we still have a few minutes. Quiet group today.
Yeah, I had heard some more about the importance of exercise, and not only just the exercise, but the weight bearing.
Mm. Yes. And that's also good for your metabolism.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
And I guess that's what it all boils down to, is I've got to do that.
The older we get especially, but and three times a week is all you need to, even two times a week is better than none. And have you ever done it, Darlene?
No, no, I'm just, when it comes to that, I mean, I love to, I exercise by line dancing and dancing and stuff like that, you know, but I don't know what my brain problem is.
Do you wear your cardio shorts?
No.
Okay, because to me, the cardios are wonderful for the lower body weight bearing.
Uh-huh.
I would strongly suggest, if you're going to do a weight training, that you find somebody, whether it's in a class or individually, to give you a couple of lessons, because you can do some serious damage if you do it wrong.
Uh-huh. I had bought a couple of the 5-pound weights,
because
I figured I'd do it while I was here at my house, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I've done it twice.
Well, I would still recommend finding somebody to help you with that initially. And 5 pounds is as much as you probably as much as you should do. I heard this on TV a long time ago, and I kind of agree with that. It's not that you need to increase the weight amount; you can increase your reps. But for anybody who wants to do weights, who wants to increase their muscle density, just doing a step. Do you have steps in your house at all, Darlene?
Yes. I have 2 steps, yeah.
Just go up 1 step and then down and rotate legs. Do that 3 sets of 15, and that's wonderful for your lower body.
Oh, that's an idea.
You don't have to use weights for that even. And you can't hurt yourself on that one. I've done that with my cardio on, actually. But as far as using weights, I would definitely urge people before they start to find somebody. Who knows? And if it's the wrong person, you could end up with some serious problems.
You know, I was thinking of my vanity, you know, the, what they call the angel wings on your arms. And I was thinking, there is just, if you don't like it, you need to change it. So I thought.
Oh, my hair tightening up, I'll tell you. Denny was quite amazed that there was as much difference in a short period of time as there was.
Do you think it's the weights, or you think it's the green smoothies?
Right.
You think it's the weights or the green smoothies?
Well, I'm doing both, but I know that the weights have made a difference, because I can see the difference in the muscle.
And they was talking about, you know, President Obama's wife, what sharp arms she had. And I thought, well, there's no reason I can't have that.
I've got a few years on you.
I'm not sure we'll get rid of all of it, Darlene, but definitely looks better than it did.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it doesn't take that long. I'm doing it at least 5 days a week, but I'm each day I'm targeting a different area, body, and I am doing it with weight. So.
Yeah. Well, they say it doesn't make any difference if you are 70 years old or 18 years old. Muscle will build muscle whenever you exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but the only problem with that is, too, is that you need to continue doing it. They say these muscle builders, whenever they, work up all these muscles and then they drop off, continue it, it just goes to nothing.
Yep.
So, anyway, I have all these things to my mind. I just have to get my body into it.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring this up, because I don't know why, but this morning I was thinking, right before the call, the first time I did Weight Watchers, which was in the late 60s, I can still hear them saying, and you don't need to exercise. You know, the important thing is, and it's true, the food is primary, I think. But they did not encourage exercise at all. And it's only within the last, 10, 15 years maybe, that we have heard how you have to exercise every day, at least 5 times a week.
The other thing that I can see a huge difference is the balance, because built into these is the balance that I couldn't even get in the positions, let alone stay in the positions or the counts that they're doing, 15 reps to start with. And each day, if you push a little harder, the same exercises are still working, which is amazing to me that I can feel the additional stretch each time that I do it, because it's the concentration and it's the form. It's not just, going through the routine of moving in that direction and the breathing that takes place. So I happen to have hit on something that I thought was really good as far as a CBD, and I've gone through several other ones and not seen the same reinforcement that's given. And I don't even know where I got this. I think I got it in Target, come to think of it. But I'm still learning off of the same one that I have done and realizing that, I wasn't exactly right on this, because you can only absorb so much. And she's right there to repeat it over and over and over and over again. Where I am, I don't have the availability of a trainer, so this is what I had to do. Yes?
What kind of exercise?
Well, it's covering all three areas of the body, the arms, the upper torso, the midriff, and the abs. The name of it is Tank, let's see, who's it by? I don't pay any attention. Mina, I don't know how you pronounce your name, first name even. M-I-N-N-A. And the last name is Lessig, L-E-S-S-I-G, and it's three divisions, tank top arms, bikini belly, and boy shorts bottom. So it covers, all the way from top to bottom. And it's short. There's only, and then a warm-up. I always do the warm-up first, but it's only about 10 minutes on each section. And sometimes I do the whole thing. Other times, if I'm pushed for time, I do one segment. And I notice that if I repeat the same segment the next day, I can feel it. So it's better to let a day go between when you're.
That's what they always say, that you should definitely leave a day in between.
So that's why I rotate down through.
Yeah. And remember, the largest muscle in your body is your thigh. So just doing that step-on that I said before is, helpful for that.
And a lot of these work several. I mean, it's not just working the upper body and just working the midriff. It's working simultaneously on the other muscles, and she will tell you that as you're doing it. So anyway, it was good. I'm positive I picked this one up at Target, because I picked up several others later. But this was the first one, and there's not a long introduction that you have to go through a whole bunch of stuff just to get it started, because I hate those.
That's the DVD?
The DVD, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be out today, so I'm going to go look for that.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find it, because it wasn't that long ago that I picked it up. It's a Rodel. Actually, that's interesting, because what was recommended down at McDougal was another Rodel, and it was done by Prevention, but it's all dance, and I needed something that was utilizing weights, and this utilizes weights, and she tells you, lighter weights, heavier weights. Mine are, I started out with 2 and 5 pounds. Now I'm on 8 pounds. But, 2 to 5 to begin with is fine. Definitely for this.
And you're trying to accomplish something in addition to the muscles.
I am working not the muscles. I'm working to get to the bones. And I'm sure I'm not anywhere near what I need to be doing. I mean, I know that. But again, like I say, I don't want to
like Nancy gave the caution, I don't want to do something that's going to be not right. Not enough is probably a little better than too much and making it not right. So
you don't want any torn muscles there.
Well, I don't think I'd get quite that far.
I had been doing sit-ups in the in my bed before I got up in the morning, and that made a big difference, too. But I just have to...
Well, once I got started, it's like a habit, and I feel the difference. I mean, I'll feel it for hours later in the flexibility and all that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you talked about, your new bed. We did this yesterday, Tai Chi, where she has us draw in our stomach real tight, hold it, draw it in more, and then release.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this for a minute or two. And she said, does anybody do this lying down on the bed? And I raised my hand. Nobody else did. And I do this every night as I'm, you know, going to bed.
Uh-huh.
And I do it to the, you know, I do to the count of 10, and I do 10 of them. And, you know, if you strengthen your abs, mm-hmm. that strengthens your back.
Right, right.
So this is another thing you can try to strengthen your abs, at least.
In fact, I was laughing. I was telling my friend Betty, I says, you know, the guys have this six-pack, you know, they're all so proud of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but mine's a 12-pack, my friend. Oh, dear.
All right, guys, we made it to past that time, and I, if anybody has any final thoughts, fine. Otherwise, we're going to call it a day and get out and do what we need to do.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, everybody, for all your participation. Have a great day, and we'll be back tomorrow with Brenda.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome.